up, y'all, and welcome back to Found Bites, a game review series. My name is Brian, and I'll be your host. If you don't know about us, we're all about testing out and finding small, high-quality video games. This is a podcast that aims to respect your time and money as a gamer and a consumer by sifting through storefronts and sales to find those gems that may be worth your precious resources. If you're interested in reaching out or helping out, check out the links in the description of each episode to access our email, Twitter, website, and YouTube channel. But enough about the show, let's get into our next game. Observation is the game for this week's episode. Observation is an adventure, puzzle, sci-fi thriller. And some comparable games, it definitely has like a horror-esque vibe to it. It's similar to games like Outlast or Daylight or Soma. But then it also has some similarities with a lot of first-person games like Phoenix Wright or Danganronpa, where you're doing a lot of puzzle solving, as well as Signalis, which is a game that we've covered. The game was originally released in May of 2019 on PC and PS4. And then in June of 2020, it came to Xbox One. The game was developed by No Code, which is a small development team from Glasgow in Scotland. And their co-founder, I believe, is from Creative Assembly, which is the team that did Alien Isolation. So also some similarities there. And the game was published by Devolver Digital. And we've seen Devolver Digital publish a lot of really dope games that we've talked about on here, like Inscription, Hotline Miami, or Gris or Gree. The game was originally released with an MSRP of $24.99, and runtime of the game, there are some extra things that I believe you can do, but for the most part, it's under 10 hours. You could probably get through it in anywhere between 6 and 8. Me, I have been playing this on PlayStation. I got it on sale on PSN for $6.24. I've really been playing it on the PlayStation Portal, and it's been really interesting, especially from a visual perspective and kind of from a 3D orientation. And I've put in probably a little more than 4 hours, maybe closer to 5. And in terms of recommendation, had not really heard of this game. I really just saw it on sale, and it was sort of the space, outer space, sci-fi thriller aspect that really got me. I'm a big fan of movies like Interstellar, so it definitely gave me that vibe and kind of like a lonely kind of psychological thriller. All right, let's talk gameplay for Observation. So this gameplay is fairly simple, but it frequently varies, and it's something that I really like. A lot of simple kind of different things that you're doing. Essentially, the overall idea is that you are some kind of AI that is controlling a space station. And so let's get into some of the basics of some of the things that you're going to be doing. So a lot of the screens that you're going to see are going to involve you moving a cursor around and maybe clicking on things or selecting options, whether it's in a menu or whether it's on a screen. You're going to be pressing buttons and you're going to be going between screens. You're also going to be looking around and doing that by actually controlling cameras, so kind of rotating them or moving them, and you'll be able to zoom with them. You'll be able to kind of scan things or at least pick up when there's something that you can actually kind of interact with. And when you're in a particular room, there are often multiple cameras, so you can can swap between cameras in the room, and it's kind of doing it in an interesting way that shows you, like, in a 3D orientation where you're going in the room when you're swapping cameras. There's also aspects of the game where you'll be kind of doing the same thing as the cameras, but you'll be using a mobile unit to explore. And you'll actually be moving through the space station, which is super interesting. And a lot of what you're going to be doing is pulling up the menu. And there are a bunch of different things on the menu, and this will slowly populate as you progress through the game. But one of the things is you're going to be looking at maps. And again, you're in a space station, so the map is going to be split into four arms of the space station. And I think it's pretty much what you would expect of a real space station. Like, there's the European-American arm, there's the Chinese arm, there's the Russian arm, so on and so forth. And when you're looking at the different maps, what you can do is click on different rooms, and you'll be able to access the cameras in there and kind of just jump into there. The map does provide a bunch of information, different room numbers that are in the different arms, as well as like a legend for other things or objects that might be in those rooms. Also on the menu, you're going to have like station alerts, and it's just like things that are currently going wrong on the station. And these are basically just things that you're going to need to do, like tasks or things that you're going to need to communicate to the crew members. Also in the menus, you'll have data collection. With the cameras, you'll be moving around and kind of zooming in and scanning things, and you might come across like a file or a picture or something like that, and that'll kind of get uploaded into this section, and you can always access it. And there's even like a little mini game here where sometimes like you might be picking up data fragments, and you'll combine them together or decrypt them or decode them, and all that will happen here in this data collection menu. And then eventually you'll get access to more advanced things in the menu, like locating crew members, the comm system, things like that. Primarily what you're going to be doing as you're exploring or as you're clicking on screens or moving cameras around is you're going to be kind of solving puzzles. There's a lot of problem solving in this game. And so what you're doing when you're switching from camera to camera, going in different rooms, is you're really kind of exploring the area, investigating things, and trying to find out either the information or access the things that you're trying to get to. So you're going to be scanning things, and you're going to be like getting access to computers or to systems or to documents, like we said, or opening hatches. So very simple things, but it's pretty much like there's a space station and the AI controls it. And so everything that the space station can do is within your reach, at least at some point. And so you're going to be kind of problem solving, figuring out, well, how do we fix this system, or this thing is going wrong, we need to find this. So it's going to be a lot of problem solving and kind of exploring. And you'll be doing other things like finding codes or keys and then inputting them in different places. A lot of the puzzles that you'll actually be doing are like these mini games. And I really like the variation of them. Like, some are going to be like a color game where you have to like pick all of the squares of this color, and then that'll unlock the thing. Or you'll have to like draw different patterns by looking at a schematic in terms of what you're trying to do with an object or a hatch or all kinds of things like that. And then there'll be like memory games, all kinds of things. So I really like the variation of this, and it really keeps it fresh. Sometimes you have to like go to a menu and look at something and then go back. Other times, like, you can kind of just find codes in the camera, like you can see them written on the wall or something like that. And so progressing through this game, you'll always know what the current objective is. Now, sometimes you will have multiple objectives, and it's like, okay, here are four things that are on your list. You know, start with one of them. You can do them in any order. And the objectives, you can see them at any time, and it's very helpful to look at them because they literally tell you what has to be done. And they don't give a ton of detail, but they explain something in a very simple statement, often give like a location or a room and a task that needs to be done. And really, a lot of what you're doing is finding that room and then kind of exploring a little bit in that room and seeing how you can access the thing that it's trying to get you to do. Once you do that, again, there'll be puzzling in order to do that. Maybe a game will come up at that location to find something or unlock something or decode something or something like that. And it could be things like this door needs to be unlocked for this crew member, or this system needs to be rebooted for the whole station. And it does provide, whether in the objective or once you get to the location, some kind of screen or schematic that tells you like, okay, this is the process for doing this thing. You need to do X, Y, and Z. So there's a lot of context clues that you're going to be picking up, whether from things that are on the wall that you can see in the cameras, or the system screens, like when you come across a computer and it's like, this is the ventilation system, or this is the cooling system, and like, here's how you perform this thing. Very similar to games like Signalis or other kind of survival horror things. So definitely things that you would be used to if you've played any type of psychological thriller or kind of exploration adventure type games. And there's also response mode. So you are an AI, but you do have a voice. And some of the things that you're going to need to do is communicate to the crew about certain things, like the status of this system, or where is this person, or all kinds of different things like that. And so there is a button that whenever you're on any screen, you can hold it and it'll bring up response mode. And what you can do is move the cursor around the screen. And if there's something on the screen that needs to be communicated or can be communicated to the crew, all you have to do is highlight it when you have that held and then just click it. And then the AI will kind of announce it in the station so the crew members will hear it. And this mode is also good response mode when you kind of need some more specifics, even outside of how the objective is written, because you can hold the button and then press a repeat task or repeat command. And then the crew member will be like, okay, I'll tell you again, like, I need you to find this. We need to do this. And something else that you'll do, like I said, you will have this mobile unit. And so you will kind of travel sometimes. You kind of get disoriented in a 3D matter because if you're looking at the map and like you're trying to get from one room to another in a specific arm, one might have a crossroads or it might be an elbow and it's like, okay, you have to go to the left. But when you're in the 3D space, that could mean anything because the map is actually flat. So it could mean that you actually need to go straight up or straight down as you enter a room. And sometimes it takes a while to kind of orient the camera and figure out like, how am I getting to this one room? I can't see a door. And so there were a couple times where I had to reorient myself or I had to go all the way 360 in all directions and I could not figure out where the door was. And then it was like right in front of me and I felt stupid. Something else that you will do is travel outside the space station. And I don't want to get into the vibe yet, but when I first had to do this, I was kind of terrified and super disoriented because the space station is just sitting, it's above a planet. So traveling outside can be very disorienting, especially when you have to go back in the hatch that you came out of, because you can kind of go pretty far and a lot of these things do look similar. Luckily, the camera, whether it's on the mobile unit or on any camera, when you're pointing around or moving where you're looking at, it'll highlight kind of what you're looking at. So when you're outside, it'll highlight like, okay, this is this arm or this room of this arm. And then as you progress, there'll also be like these story moments where something happens and then it'll like go to a black screen and then you'll go on like 6 hours later or something like that. I don't know how many of these there are. I think I've experienced like 3 of them at this point, but it is interesting how that progresses. And then like something big happened and then it's like, okay, the aftermath. And in terms of pacing and accessibility, like I said, really good task variation, the puzzle variation, what you're doing. It's not just fetchy. It really is intentional and it kind of immerses you in what's going on. Again, a lot of general problem solving and logic. It's not necessarily going to spell out exactly how you get from A to B to C to D to do the task, but it is pretty logical. It's not always going to be spoon-fed to you. Like I said, sometimes you might need a code and you can't find it in any document, but it might be somewhere on a post-it note in a room. And so just finding it with the camera, it's a weird combination of using logic but not overthinking. I found that very early on I was overthinking what to do and I felt like super overwhelmed. But I think the way it's set up with the tasks and the objectives and telling you exactly what needs to be done, it's pretty straightforward when you have something going on. And then finally, saving in this game, there is an autosave feature. I think it's a little finicky. Sometimes I would come back and I'd be maybe a little further back than I was. There is sort of a save marker that comes up often, but I'm not sure, like maybe the best time would be like after a major event or after like a, you know, a story advance or a time advance or something like that might be the best time to put this game down. All right, let's talk about the vibe of Observation. And let's start with the visuals. So this game, I believe, is intentionally realistic. It's primarily inside a space station, and I feel like it is trying to be very realistic with the objects or the systems or the different things that you come across. Like, you're moving through the space station or, you know, looking at cameras or whatnot. Most of it is white. You'll see these hatches, and often if I look at a hatch, maybe there's one in front of me, one on the right, one above me. All things that you might expect for a space station. There's a lot of padding. You will have different stations where there are computers, and they'll kind of be things floating around like laptops, and, you know, sometimes they're on the ceiling, sometimes they're on the side. Again, you're in a space station, and it does feel small. It does feel kind of cramped, which I would expect to be the case in a space station like this, you know, in different arms as you're just kind of going through different rooms. You know, there's a lot of bars, so you would expect like people are just kind of floating through or trying to get to the next area. But some of like the bigger areas are like, I guess, where arms come together, or like the command center or something like that. Not everything that you see is interactable. There'll be sort of a cursor or like a square that pops up whenever where you're aiming hits that object or the invisible kind of square around it, and it will come up with a label. But there are a lot of things that you'll find that like just won't be able to interact with or aren't relevant. And that's helpful because, again, there's not a lot of detail in the tasks, and you have to think logically. And sometimes you'll go to one room and it's like, okay, I have to do something in this room, but there's only five things that I can interact with. So it's not really overwhelming you with things that you interact with. And then there are humans in this game. This is where it's a bit immersion breaking, because there's at least one person that like constantly her face will be up against the camera, like talking to the AI or trying to get information. And specifically like her eyes and the emotion, whether she's crying or something like that, it doesn't really read well. Her eyes like kind of wander, and I don't know if that's trying to communicate her being skeptical, or it's just like that's some bad animation. Definitely the face of the people, a bit immersion breaking, but not totally. It doesn't like ruin it for me, but I think that trying to get that realistic kind of psychological horror thing going, it may have taken maybe a bit more detail there. And you're in outer space. And let me tell you, like I said, the first time I went out of the space station and had to like do work on the outside or, you know, reconnect something, I got a little vertigo. I'm not gonna lie. And I was playing this on the PlayStation Portal, and you're in a space station and you're just outside of the planet, and you go out and there's like darkness, or like the side of the planet is dark, and then you see the light that hits the planet, and it's like, I got really overwhelmed the first time, and I had to like put the screen down. Like I really felt it visually. Orientation, again, is a big thing when you're outside of the space station. That can be something that's tough, but again, it's pretty logical. When looking at the planet, it's interesting because it seems a bit grainy, but I can't tell if that's intentional. I think that the animation outside and, you know, the look of the space station is all very realistic. When it comes to looking at the planet, I don't know what it would be to look at the planet that close. I think it's fine as is, but again, it gives me these super vibes of like Interstellar and just looking at such a celestial object and being at a certain distance. It's really massive and it's very effective, I feel. And then other things like the puzzles and the codes. Sometimes you'll look at something and it's available in a dock. Like I said, sometimes your eyes, you might have some color issues. I am colorblind, but I was okay with some of the color mini games. And in terms of themes and setting, like I said, outer space, Interstellar, Gravity. Like, if you're into these movies, you'll definitely get that vibe here. But there is this horror psychological thriller vibe, and it's very understated. There's a lot of like logical plot reveals that come out of like what's happening, and just the way it's revealed, it's like, whoa, oh my gosh, I didn't know that happened. Or, you know, the way that you're discovering what's going on or the things that have happened, the realizations, and really the spectacle of how it introduces you to it. It's like the camera like quickly pans out to this big image and you're like, oh my gosh, I had no idea. And then kind of the human aspect, like this one character is the main character, and at times she is feeling very alone, feeling very stranded, and she's talking to the AI, and, you know, it's like she's going through these different stages of like what is happening, and I am conversing with a computer. And so the AI thing is really a big deal. A lot of this plot is like things are happening, but the AI kind of has memory loss, so So you're slowly trying to figure out like what is going on, and things are vaguely revealed to you. And there are also some other supernatural elements. I'm not going to really get into any specifics, mainly because I'm not quite in the know of all the specifics, but there's definitely something going on. And one thing I like thematically that's kind of a visual thing, there's the illusion of occurrences. It's like it might show visuals up until a certain point and then it immediately goes to black like right before something was about to happen. So you never really see anything live, anything like graphic or anything crazy like that. But it's like the illusion that like something just happened. Just the absence of visual alongside the spectacle of what you do see. It's really an interesting combination and I think it's very effective. And then in a small note, there are other things that you'll come across, like there are other personnel. And so sometimes when you scan documents, like you will get, you know, lore or email exchange documents that you're reading. And I think that some of this might be some clues as to what's going on, but not really. It's giving you a little bit of character story, but not that much. Again, I haven't finished the game. I'm only about 4 or 5 hours in. So I'm not sure how a lot of these things tie in, but it does add a little bit of flavor. And then finally, in terms of audio, the sound effects in this game are really good. A lot of standard things in a space station, things beeping, some static. The dramatic realizations right before the screen goes to black, or like if the screen quickly pans out, some of the ramp up music is really effective. Like there are these booms or this creeping whenever you see something visually or for the first time, like a big spectacle visually, there's a real big hit with the sound effects, and it's really, really effective. And the music in general, I sometimes don't really hear that much, but when I do hear things like, there is maybe some ambient music or some longing or some kind of dissonance, but other times like there's some really kind of creepy stuff. Again, it reminds me a little bit of Signalis, especially in the opening. So really, really some interesting audio stuff there. All right, let's wrap up the conversation about Observation. So this is definitely a unique experience. It kept me hooked, and it continues to, and it's something that I pick up on the portal and I play in bed. The story, I love what's going on. It's very open-ended. It's very the absence of detail or the illusion, like I said, illusion of occurrence. Plot twists are interesting. And really some interesting observations about the human mind, loneliness, despair, like psychologically what this main character is going through. I really like the variation of the tasks and the puzzles. Puzzles aren't anything that crazy or good, but it is a nice variation, sometimes with a cursor, sometimes just visual things that you're putting together. It definitely took me time in the beginning not to overthink what I had to do or the tasks, but you know, maybe an hour or so in, I got the ebb and flow of like, okay, here are my tasks. I need to go to this location. Like, it just took me a while to orient myself in the space station, I think. There's a lot of logic and problem solving. Again, simple gameplay. Sometimes it does feel a bit rigid. You know, if you're somebody who's looking for like an exploration game or one where you can move your character around constantly, it's definitely not going to be that. It's not as open. It's not exploration heavy. You're pretty much locked in, but I like the access that you get and how that can feel limiting. I think that even adds to the ambiance and like what's going on, how you're not really that in control and yet you have access to all of this stuff. In terms of value, I think $25, I think that's a tough sell for this game, not necessarily for the length or anything like that, but you know, with what a lot of people are looking for in gameplay, I don't know if they're going to get that here. The value is definitely in the ambiance and the storytelling. I think the production value is definitely there. I would suggest for most people, maybe wait till it's under $20 on sale. Again, I got this for $6. I think $6 is an absolute steal for this game and for what it's making me feel as I play it. Definitely reminiscent of movies like Interstellar, Gravity, kind of that cinematic experience, yet a psychological thriller that like you're really a part of. And if you're a lover of sci-fi, psychological thrillers, I think you will love this game as well. So I do highly recommend this game. All right, that's going to wrap it up for this episode. Stay tuned for our next episode to see what new game we found for you.